All right, anyway, let's pray. Lord, what a wonderful God you are. And Lord, many times we cannot see what you are doing, but you've given us your word so that we can see how you've worked in other places. And at least then, even though we might not know what you are doing, we know that you are doing. And we just thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you would use this most amazing passage this week and next week to really impact us and how we trust you even though things are hard. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, no kidding, this is just amazing. It's not the outline I've preached or whatever, but there's just a lot here, so let's start with verse 17, okay? Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. So that's where we're at, okay, timeline-wise. That God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. You might want to underline that. This is the short path, the easy path, supposedly. Okay? The path we want. Lord, we want from A to B, shortest time, least amount of discomfort possible, and can I get a shake with that? Right? I want to be comfortable. And I want the least amount of struggle on my part. Okay? That's my definition of success. And God's like, no, it's not. It's not your success. It will not help you. Okay? Hang in there. For God said, notice, he's given us an indication of why he's leading this way already. Lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. We could just spend the day on verse 17. Here's verse 18. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So I'll give you the point first, otherwise I'll forget. But God leads Israel out the long way. Think of it as the more difficult way. Have you ever had God lead you the hard path rather than the easy path? You know, it's like, Pastor Kevin, that's like my journal entry every day. You know? That is my life. It's never easy. You know, I was like thinking Thursday night when I had the blowout. Number one, I'm like, oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I was like, wonder what it's like to have a blowout. It was almost like front right tire. It could be worse, you know. And I was just getting ready to get off the interstate in the Euclid Avenue exit coming home. I just drive over to Quick Trip because it's cold. 3 degrees, right? I'm like, this is not good. Number one, I'm tired. It's the end of the day. It's cold outside. Does your car break down when it's warm? Mine neither. Right? It's always like, why now? Why not when it's 50? It was 50 a couple days, you know? Why not then? Now, maybe that would have got me in the ditch and rolled over when it was 52. I don't know, right? So I pull up there, and I'm like, oh, this is so cold. You know, and I'm kind of dressed up a little bit, and this isn't good. And then I open my trunk. I have a couple pet peeves in my life. One is, you don't put something in the car unless you're going to take it then, right? There was 2 big bags of pop cans that I knew they were there. I didn't know they were still there because someone had put them in. Don't look at who's laughing and looking down right now. And it doesn't matter. That's not the point. It's just like it just added the insult to injury. Because not only then, My donut tire that is embarrassing to drive in a, with a car, you know, little donut, the tire, the donut tire, it's underneath that stuff, right? So I, you know, and it's cold out, so I'm like, okay, so how I'm going to do this? So not only do I have to change my tire, I'm going to put stuff, I have to empty my trunk. So open the back door, and I start just two bags of cans. And it's like, what? They're folding chairs, you know, from like, the you know, the yard chairs when we had the backyard. We had a couple of those from like November. Suzanne and I went and sat at Sam's Club for a couple hours to get phones for a penny kind of thing. They're still, and I'm emptying my car at 3 degrees, right? So, and it, there's a wind and cold makes colder, just so you know. So I'm throwing those, I'm just like constant, and I finally get this donut tire that I'm embarrassed to put on my car, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Because you're driving like this, you know, everyone sees you, but, and then I got to, it's never been out of my car. My car's a 2002 Ford Focus, so it's like, man, I'm just spinning and spinning and spinning, and all of a sudden, okay, I got the tire on, so, oh, I got one of those little scissor jacks. And guess what? I have to spin and spin and spin to get that out. Have you ever jacked up a car with a scissor jack? Yeah, well, I left my impact wrench that I normally carry in my pocket at home that day, you know, right? You know, so, and it's like, then I have bunches of ice on my car, you know, so you can't even just slide it in there or whatever. So then I finally, I have the tire, the donut there, the embarrassing donut tire, and then also I'm like, you know what, I'm a AAA member. I never call them. I'm calling them. They can change my tire. I'm smart. I have now grown an inch because I'm now learning to strategize. I've been a AAA member on and off for years, and I've never called them. Time to make do, right? So I call the number on my card, which is in my wallet, and I call. Automated answering and stuff. This is great. They'll be out here. 15 to 20 minute wait to talk to somebody. And I'm like, if it takes that long to talk, I'm going to die here before someone shows up to change my tire, right? So then I'm out changing the tire again with the scissors. I hung up. I'm not going to wait 20 minutes to tell them to say that someone will be there within 2 hours, right? So then I'm out there with the scissor jack, and it's like, eek, eek, eek. You just, it's, and the car, ooh, man, it went up another quarter inch. I'm going to keep doing this. So I find, you know, it was hard to break the lug nuts even and stuff. I mean, I was literally jumping on the lug wrench. Somebody should have videotaped this because it would have been worth a little bit of money. At least for America's Funniest Home Videos or something. They're like, here, look at this doofus, dude. But anyway, so I go home and do that after I got it changed, you know? And I'm like, what is with this? So then, before I even make it home, I call Sam's Club and I say, I need new tires. When are you open tomorrow? I'm going to be there. 7 o'clock, I'll be there. I was there. I stopped at Burger King right by my house. There was one car in front of me. 20 minutes later, I'm driving out of there with my order. With my donut tire. And I'm trying to get to Sam's Club with the, you know, kind of like the as much darkness as possible. I pull up to Sam's Club. There's only one guy there. It's still like 7:05. One guy's in front of me. No big deal. They're checking his. He had a low air. He had automatic air pressure gauges in his tires. So not a big deal. So I go up there and he goes, I'm there early, right? I get up early. I can't even sleep right that night because you know you have to get up early, so then you keep waking up and looking at the clock. That was all night. I get the Sam's Club and it's like, oh, we don't have tires in stock for your car. Oh? Yeah, it'd be 3 to 5 days. I'm like thinking, I'm going to drive my car with that donut for 3 to 5 days? That isn't even safe. And it's definitely not cool, right? I'm driving a 2002 Focus anyway, so that's not super cool, but I'm not trying to be, like, lame, you know? So, you know, then at $1,348 later that morning, I found a place to put car, you know, there was other things. So, but God doesn't take you the short route often, because he has things that he knows you need, or you need to learn, or that actually will protect you. Like I said, who knows if it was 50 degrees out, which would have been a lot more comfortable, maybe on a day when I went to work in my jeans rather than church shoes out there, you know, and stuff like that, I would have rolled over in the ditch and gotten killed, right? Maybe, who knows that? God doesn't give you all that information. He gives us a little bit of insight here, though, that sometimes he leads you the long way because there's reasons. Okay? And I tell you all that. I don't know all of God's reasons. It certainly makes me be patient because I don't have a choice, right? I have to do these things, and I have to go out and get cold again and put that tire on and do this and that, right? So I end up having to trust in God. And that's exactly what this is here. He opens up a little bit of the veil and says, you know, I do some things on purpose. You might not understand them, but they're for your benefit. Okay? So hang in here. Look at this. There's a whole list. What, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, looks like something like that. God led the people a longer way. Okay? We already said that. Look at this, the way it is. Okay? Here's, if you picture Egypt, which is, you know, here's Africa. Isn't it? Egypt. And then up here, you know, that's the Mediterranean Sea. There's Portugal. or a faucet. Okay. So anyway, they're in Egypt, right? Now, Egypt's in the northeast corner of Africa. And guess what? Israel's right up here, the promised land. Well, I'm going to take you to the land of milk and honey. Milk and honey, right? Can you tell I haven't slept much, right? What's the best way to go? It's like if I'm here and I want to go here, right? Kind of up along the Mediterranean Sea right there, right? Okay? No brainer. Go to Sands at 7 in the morning. Bingo! 4 tires. Or not. Alright? Instead, God leads him kind of like this. Up and down. It's almost like a W kind of thing. Okay? He leads him away from there, not toward there. Okay? Now hang with me here. God gives a reason why he led as he did. Did you notice here? He said he let the people go, that they did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Why? For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war. What war are you talking about? They just had lunch. They just got chased out of Egypt. Well, they said there's the land of the Philistines. Philistines just beat people up because. Yeah, they still do it today. It's called Gaza, and they shoot missiles just because. Hey, let's see if we can hit Tel Aviv. You know, yeah, almost the same thing. They had, and I have it on the right or the left-hand side here. Archaeology further confirms that this northern route was heavily garrisoned, militarized by Egypt. So they would have had to fight their way up. Does God know what he's doing? Yes, he does. Do you always know what God's doing? No, we don't, right? But he's showing you that he does things for a reason. So even though you don't know what he's doing, you don't have him in stock. you can count on the fact that he knows what he's doing. Okay? He gives a reason why he led as he did. He's watching out for them for two reasons. Number one, the fighting. People die, right, when they fight. But also, what was another reason? Yeah. So they wouldn't go back. They wouldn't falter and go back, okay? Let's keep going here. God allows problems and difficulties on purpose, all right? The long way. He took them the long way, and it ended up being the better way, but they wouldn't have known that. It would have been definitely a faster way, at least as the map showed, okay? Here's a principle here. God sees all the obstacles we cannot see. And that's where I tie in that archaeology confirms that, right? He sees things that you don't. So don't get all hot and bothered about difficulties that come your way. Because God might have taken you there to keep you from getting something worse. Okay? God leads for our benefit. Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for what? Good. 20 years of his life as a slave or servant of somebody else. But guess what? He delivered the known world at that time from famine eventually. Right? God knows what he's doing. We may not know that, and we've already emphasized that. Now, this is another one. God allows only what we can handle. Again, and Dory's already pointed out here, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Does God know your weaknesses? I think this indicates that he does, and he takes them into account. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no trial or temptation. It's the word tribulation or whatever that is overtaking you, but such as is common to man. You don't have anything special in your life really that hasn't been common among mankind in general. There's no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God is what? Faithful. He'll not allow you to be tried, troubled, tempted beyond what you are able. But will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So his goal is to lead you through something. Now it might be the long way because he knows you can't take the short way. It won't be good for you as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. And he knows that. And so he's going to take you the flat tire way. Now you cannot interpret things because you don't know. God doesn't email us every time a problem comes our way. But he's showing us this so that you can know that he does things on purpose for your benefit. You can at least take that to the bank. Okay? And he knows what you can handle. God, this is another principle too. God may lead away from the obvious. And I actually shortened it. I had the obvious and the logical. The logical way from anyone looking at a map would be go to the shortest route, Philistines, and then you're in the promised land. And even though now we kind of know more, and God was telling us they didn't know, okay? They didn't know. But also, just because it seems like the most logical direction to go might not be the way God wants you to go. That's why I have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that's good by itself, right? That's good. But notice what it says too in Proverbs 3. It says, and do not lean on your own understanding. Because we do not come to God's conclusions. We logic it out. We analyze it and say, this is the right way to go. And God says, no, you need to obey me. Even though it seems obvious to go a different way, even though it defies logic, you do what I say because I know what I'm doing and I am doing it for your benefit. That's worth coming today, isn't it? Right? And it's the Word of God. It's just amazing. And again, I saw this years ago, and I've taught it several times in different ways. But it's like, I am like, I want God to lead me. Because He does it for my benefit, and He sees things I cannot see. And He will get me where I need to go, the way I need to go. Right? You can count on God to do that. And again, God does not tell you what or why oftentimes. And maybe not even in this lifetime. You can look back if you have a flat tire and a Thursday night coming home and you can say it could be this or this or this. But it won't be until I get to heaven to know that little detail. But I know that what God does is good and it's for my benefit. What God does for you, the long way around, the difficult path, He does for your benefit. And He might be saving you hassle in the long run. Instead of you visiting me in the hospital today, I can be teaching Sunday school as if nothing ever happened. Maybe, right? God led around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks and out of the land of Egypt. So a lot more can be said. We'll keep moving on. Verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. This is like out of the sky blue, right? For he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So God fulfilled Joseph's prophecy. And wish. God will visit you. Take my bones with you and bury me in the promised land. Okay? God will surely visit you, carry my bones. And by the way, that's at the last chapter of Genesis. Okay? A lot has happened. We're talking hundreds of years since Joseph commanded them. Okay? Verse 20. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. I didn't try to map it out. Remember that Succoth is big for Jacob and Abraham, and I think Isaac too, all three of them. But they took their journey from Succoth and camped at the Etham at the edge of the wilderness. Israel continues to journey, and that's what I just said. You know, they're just moving. They continue to journey, and that's our point for this. Okay? Now, look at verse 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. First time you've ever heard about this, ever, is right here. Okay? He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, there's a ton of stuff here. God leads Israel by day and night. Okay, God leads Israel by day and night. Now let's just chew on some of these concepts real quick. God's presence is His leading. He never tells them where they're going. He is just there with them. Okay, and I put down here, as long as God is there, don't worry about when to move. God will make that evident when the time comes. Another statement, God goes ahead of us, knowing, preparing the way. That's pretty cool, because God doesn't push from behind. He's there already, right? He's leading ahead of us. God's leading. Somehow I missed that. God's leading is not invisible or hidden. You know what? The biggest part of God's leading is in that book you have right in front of you. It's not mysterious. There are some things that are hard to understand. That's admittable. But as the great theologian Mark Twain said, it's not the stuff I don't understand that bothers me, it's the stuff I do understand that bothers me. You don't have to understand everything, but there's stuff that you clearly know. That's what you need to be concerned with, right? God has directed us in ways that He never directed Israel, because we have a more sure word of prophecy, the Word of God. God's leading concerns the present. I dislike this, but it's true. God normally doesn't give us long-term details of where, what, or how he wants us to go. Okay? I remember one time, and I have it in here. I was driving from Elkhart, Iowa. I lived up in a mobile home park while I was going to Faith. And it was one of the weirdest days that I ever remember. And I think I've seen it a couple more times since then. But I'm going to college at my 7 o'clock class. It's dark, you know, it's probably about 6:30. And I remember, you could not see the front of your car, hardly. You're driving like that, and you're like, I got to drive slow because I won't have hardly any notice at all. And whatever, I don't know why, but whatever compelled me, I looked kind of up, and I could see the stars. There was some kind of inversion, and it was foggy, but right above the fog, clear, crystal clear sky. And I immediately saw the illustration that that is our walk with God. He maintains his connection with you, and the present is what you need to be concerned about. He doesn't tell you far in advance anything other than how the story ends. He doesn't tell you what sicknesses you're going to have, what children, all, you know, troubles, trials, great things, good things, honors, all of this kind of stuff. He doesn't tell you that. That's the whole walk by faith thing. That's the whole you keep connection with me. And that was God there. He didn't say, here's the map of where we're going to be for the next 30 days. God's there. When he moves, you move. Now, some people take that mystically. I'm not saying that. If God tells you to do something, that's what you do. You don't fully see the impact of that. You just know that's what you do, right? God's leadership is continual night and day. Isn't it great that God never goes to sleep or takes a vacation? He doesn't even take a coffee break. He's never going to miss anything. That's the kind of leadership you have from God. And God's leading will match your need. I thought this was kind of cool. It's like, well, I can't see the cloud at night. They didn't even have to say that. God automatically, here's something you can see during the daytime. And because you can't see the cloud at night very well, here's a pillar of fire for you. Isn't that cool how God meets our need in that way too, right? Again, he doesn't tell you all that's going to come. He just is there. His presence is continual. All right. We got three more points, and I will cover these. Number five, God reveals his strategy. God reveals his strategy. This is kind of cool, too, because this is beyond, okay, we're not going to go the way of the Philistines because it will require you to fight a lot, and you might just give up hope and come back to Egypt. Okay, which we saw them tempted to do that anyway, right? When all was well and good. But anyway, look at the first four verses of Genesis 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak now to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth. I should have somebody else read this. That way I can smirk at them. Between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon, and you shall camp before it by the sea. Okay, here's, you know, it's kind of like this. Go this way, they go south and then north, and then they end up in a dead end. Got it? They're by the Red Sea or Reed Sea, is it something? And notice what he said. He's leading them. And notice, pay attention, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, he's having them kind of not backtrack, but go up and down, to give Pharaoh an impression that it's not true, but he wants Pharaoh to think that. This is interesting. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them, and they don't know where they're going. It looks like they're confused. He almost like baits Pharaoh. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. By the way, didn't he already do that? Well, he got a little more to cap off here, right? God reveals a strategy. There's 5 points underneath your notice here. God will sometimes let us in on his plans. Usually that's for us a biblical thing, not audible or something like that. I'm just saying God sometimes tells from the Bible. Don't then be surprised. With great tribulation you will enter the kingdom. That would be a biblical example of God letting us in on his plans. Hey, life's going to be rough for you because you're a follower of Jesus. You know that now. You know. Number two there, it's actually verse two. Appearing confused, they went south and then north again. Okay? And notice here, I put, God uses military psyops. Psychological warfare, if you will. Psychological operations. The idea that he makes it, Pharaoh think something different than what's actually true. Okay? And that's what he did. So Pharaoh will think that. Okay? Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're confused, they're bewildered. Okay? It's the problem is in the interpretation. Nobody lies. It's just the result of what they think, all right? They're trying to guess something. It's not. God's further strategy to glorify himself, he says, I will do this. I'm going to cap off what I've done even more so, okay? I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army. That's not something he's done, you know, technically yet. Okay, now, verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Isn't it crazy? After all they had done, they're like changing their mind. So that's what Pharaoh changes his mind. And his servants, too. And by the way, they had told Pharaoh, come on, give up the fight. Right? They had said, Pharaoh's advisors and whatever, give up the fight, Pharaoh. We're done. We're history. And now their minds are changed too. I put this down here as a principle. The ungodly will not respond logically, but sinfully and selfishly. And that's what they did. We're losing out here. Our slaves have left. Last point here is, so he, Pharaoh, made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So number 7, Pharaoh pursues with his army. So some a few more observations here. It involved Pharaoh himself. Again, a lot of this had beforehand was kind of Pharaoh was kind of the representative of Egypt, but other than him losing a firstborn like everybody else in the whole nation of Egypt, he wasn't really affected directly, okay, other than just like everyone else was. This time it was like directly impacting Pharaoh, okay? 600 chariots, by the way, he took his people with him, and they said 600 choice chariots. So that's like the best that he had. Plus, notice what it says. How many chariots went? We don't know. There's 600 choice chariots, but then it said he also took all the chariots of Egypt. So the choice chariots was like, you know, this is what he had. You know, he had the 600 Apache helicopters. Plus he had, you know, a bunch, all the rest of the helicopters, you know. But it was like saying these are the really good ones. And then plus we're taking all of the chariots. Okay, and then God, all the chariots of Egypt and captains for all the chariots. So there was probably soldiers, multiple soldiers on every chariot. You know, two or more. Could be potentially three or four, I suppose. And then God hardened Pharaoh's heart at that point. Pharaoh pursues Israel, and Israel moves out with boldness. So, like I said, this is like awkward because it like just ends. It's like I said, the power goes off when you're in the middle of a good movie or something. It's like, okay. But God is leading them out of Israel, but he doesn't just lead them out. God is still working on bigger things. He's protecting Israel. And you get a little bit of that. He's taking them a different way. He understands their weaknesses, knowing if they go this way, they might give up and turn around and come back. He's also confusing Pharaoh to make Pharaoh think that Israel is bewildered in the wilderness when really, you know, God's led them exactly where he wanted them to go. And now they're backed up against the sea, which seems rather ridiculous, illogical, non-obvious, right? That's where we leave it today. They're stuck, and now Pharaoh has activated his entire army to pursue them. And they're on chariots. The children of Israel are not all on wheeled vehicles, right? Most of them are walking. They have livestock, children, possessions, all of that. So they're moving very slowly. Questions or comments? Part one. Next week we will complete this. And it's still pretty amazing. So what God does. So the whole, I usually teach this all in one bite, but I just figured it was too much to cover. So anyway, God knows what he's doing, and he knows what you can handle. Trust his care of you, even though you cannot fully understand or know what he is doing. You can count on the fact that he's doing what he's doing for your benefit, as well as accomplishing other things in and through your circumstances, besides just making you comfortable with a chocolate shake in your hand, right? So, okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word again. And Lord, we especially just thank you for your own testimony of how you dealt with the children of Israel. You didn't force them like a drill sergeant to march through the Philistines. You actually led them in a different way to protect them. And because you knew how weak they were, that they would probably just turn around and come right back once they had any kind of resistance. And Lord, also, you were doing this to get yet even greater glory over Egypt. And in a way that had profound impact for multiple generations to come in Egypt and also in, as your testimony throughout the Middle East. I pray, Lord, that we would be people that trust you and trust your workings, even though they might not make sense to us. Lord, we want to trust you. We want to walk by our belief in your claims, in your character, your goodness. And we just ask that you would help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.